Well, let's turn over for just a moment to the book of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15. And let's just pick up in verse 1. And Jesus, of course, is speaking here, and he says, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it that it might bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So he said, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. So when he says, I am the true vine, the implication is there are other vines that we can be attached to. But when he says, I am the true vine, he means exactly what he says. I am the real thing. You remember years and years ago, Coca-Cola, their thing, you know, their slogan was the real thing. Well, no, that's not true. Jesus is the real thing. He is the true vine, and we are the branches. As we go down, you'll find that out. But he says, my Father is the husbandman. That just means the vine dresser, the vine keeper, the farmer, the one who takes care of the vine. He is able to do that perfectly. So he says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. So when he says in me, he's talking about those that have been united to him, those that have been made one with him, those that are part of the body of Christ, they are in him. And he says, every branch in me, in him, that bears not fruit, well, he takes it away. Now, he better translation is he lifts it up. It's actually very tender language. He says, those branches that are not bearing fruit, the Father, you know, God is going to hold them up to make the vital connection between the vine and the branch to the degree that it will begin to produce fruit. So it's not a works mentality, as many would read this and think, well, if I'm not bearing fruit for the Lord, then he's just going to lop me off and throw me away. No, that's not what this is saying. He's saying, and I think very with very pictorial, this is pictorial language, and I think very vividly about this. And when I was a kid, we had an orchard out back of our house, and my dad had planted an apple tree there. And he planted this apple tree, and it was one that he had ordered. And when we got it, it had 5 different kinds of apples. They had grafted different types of apple trees into this one. And as a result, it bore not only yellow apples, but red apples. It had different kinds of apples. It had red delicious, red Rome, yellow delicious, and something else. I can't remember whether it was 4 or 5 different types of apples that had been all grafted into this one. And so that is very much like what he's saying here. You have been grafted in to me. But then he says those branches that are not bearing fruit, he holds them up. Now, I remember as a child where some of the branches were real low, and as a result, they would just lay on the ground. Well, they were not going to, if they did produce fruit, it was going to rot. And what he is saying is, God will prop up those branches so they will bear fruit. He's not saying I'm going to lop those branches off because they're not bearing fruit. It's actually very tender language. He wants everything that he does to bear fruit. And part of the bearing of fruit, there's different types of fruit, but you're going to find out that there is a satisfaction and a delight in bearing fruit. He wants you to be delighted and to have a satisfaction of bearing fruit. Now, when we get into this a little bit further, he says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, or he props it up, he holds it up, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it or purges it that it might bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So he says, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it, he purges it, he trims it back so that it will bear more fruit. And so he will do that. And then he says to you, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The cleaning process, the word purge there, and he, the next verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He talks about purge and clean. Those are 2 different tenses of the same word. It's basically the same thing. It's just 2 different tenses. So when he says clean, he's using, in the previous verse, when he says purge or prune, different translations say. He's saying to cleanse. That's what he's saying. He says, you will be cleansed. Then he tells you how the cleansing is going to take place in verse 3 by his word. So the word is what cleanses you. So he says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Going down from there, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Here is where there is a separation. But in verse 2, he's not talking about you separated because you're not bearing fruit. This is an absolute separation from him. These branches are not in him. And those are the ones that will be burned up. And then we keep going on, and he says, again, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they shall be burned. But verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. If you abide in me. That two-letter word, if. And he's not talking about just remaining in him, you know, being born again. He's talking, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. There's a big if there. Not only are you born again, not only are you united to him, but his word abides in you. You abide in him and his words abide in you. And when that happens, he says, you can have what you say. That is an amazing statement. You can have what you say. You can have what you say. You can have what you want. That will blow some people's theology away. You can have what you want. Well, I want a Ferrari. Am I abiding in him, and is his word abiding in me? Because if his word is abiding in me to the degree that it needs to be, he changes my wants. He changes my wants. It's amazing. He says you can have what you want. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you begin speaking out of your heart. But you abide in him and his words abide in you. Well, that means more than just a quick passing glance at the scriptures. Reading the scriptures, getting a hold of them, living in them, living by them, speaking them over and over again, meditating on them, letting them have freedom in me. I abide in the Word, but the Word abides in me. I allow it to have complete and total freedom to where it overflows into every area of my life. So when I begin to look at something, I begin to look at it the way that God would look at it, because I look at it through the Word. I see everything that I do through the Word of God. So it begins to change my wants. Now go over to Psalm 37 and verse 4. Psalm 37 and verse 4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you what your heart wants, is the essence of what he's saying there. Delight yourself in him. 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 You cannot pass that part of the scripture up. We get to the latter part of it. I can have what I want. I can have what I want. Oh, he says, if I've got it in my heart, I can have it. Well, that's actually true. If you're abiding in him and his words abiding in you, it has freedom in you. It rules and reigns in you. You give it the first place in you, and you delight yourself in him. Delight yourself in him. When you delight yourself in him, what happens? He gives you the desires of your heart. That means that he makes divine deposits into your heart of what his desire for you is. When you delight yourself in him, he makes divine deposits into your heart of what his desire for you is. Now, we call the will of God the call for you. What his call for you is. What his desire for you is. What his plan for you is. You know, we can talk about predestination. He has a predestined will for you. The big thing that we need to realize is you got to choose it. You can choose to walk in what He wants or not choose walk what He wants for you. But the truth is, He has a plan for you. And the amazing thing is, He created you, He molded you, He made you, He designed you with certain abilities and talents and certain things in you where He knows exactly what it is that He made you for. And you may not fully understand that, but He made you with purpose. He made you with destiny in mind. He made you with a call. He made you with a will for you. And He says, when you begin to delight yourself in Me, the divine deposits begin to fill your heart. And when those divine deposits begin to fill your heart, then you can speak what's in your heart and you can have what you say. But delighting yourself in Him is such an important thing. Now, when it says to delight yourself in Him, that word delight, breaking it down to its most basic essence, means to be pliable, to be moldable, to be bendable to Him, to His will, to His word, to His way, to His plan. So when I delight myself, I delight in Him. Yes, I enjoy Him. But then when I spend time in His presence, I am molded more and more by Him into what He wants me to be and do. So when I spend that time in His presence, He makes these divine deposits. He puts things into my heart. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The reason I'm going down this pathway is there are things that God has put in your heart. He has put them in your heart. You have delighted yourself in Him, and He has put things in your heart. And some of those things He has put in your heart, He has made divine deposits. He needs you to speak them out for them to come to pass. He has put things into your heart that are not even about you. He has put things into your heart that are for others. He has put things into your heart that will affect the world. He has put things into your heart that will impact those around you. He has put things into your heart that He needs spoken out. And when we have delighted ourselves in Him, then we begin to have that connection with the very will of God when we delight ourselves in Him. Now, we get into the written Word of God. It is the most sure word of prophecy that there is. You cannot go wrong with the Word of God. You get in the Word of God, you get in the written Word of God, you're going to begin to get the aroma of God because it's in there. You're going to begin to see the person of God because He's in there. You're going to begin to get the taste of God because He's in there. You're going to begin to hear the voice of God because He's in there. You're going to get God because He's in there. And you cannot go away from the Word of God. And you cannot get away from the written Word of God. But when you delight yourself and He begins to make those divine deposits, the connection between the written Word, that you are in it constantly, and then you delight yourself in Him, He molds you, He bends you to His will. And I say bend, He's not bending you until you break. He's shaping you. You realize that there are certain implements that were not bent to the shape that they are until they're heated up and they're bent. You realize that a plow that will turn over the soil, it wasn't found in the earth in that state. It was formed in that state. And now it has great purpose in turning the soil over. A disc, you know, same thing. It turns the earth over. A planter, you know, it plants seed in the ground. It was made that way. It was molded that way. And when you delight yourself in Him, He molds you. He makes you. He fits you out in such a way where the effectiveness for His call is fitted out when you delight yourself in Him. And He makes these deposits so that He can, through you, speak. Everyone in this room, God has made deposits in you. Every one of us. Every one of us. He has made deposits in you already. The more we delight ourselves in Him, yes, the more we get into that, He's going to make more deposits. But He has made deposits in your heart. And He needs you to connect with Him with your words now. You can have what you say. The deposit has been made. He has put it into your heart. Begin to speak out what He has put into your heart. Now, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. What is He saying here? He's saying, because I believe, or I've got a divine deposit in my heart, God has made a divine deposit in my heart, I speak out of my heart. Or in other words, I connect my mouth with what's inside of me. I connect my mouth with what's inside of me. I believe, therefore I speak. God has made a divine deposit, and I give Him every opportunity then to move when I speak. But until you speak, you are not going to see what He has put into you come to pass, no matter how much you believe it. No matter how much you know it's from God, because He needs you to speak. He needs you to declare. He needs you to speak. He needs you to declare. There are different words, avow, aver, to speak with authority, to declare it into the earth. So He needs you to do that. Now, when it talks about delighting in Him, you may not fully understand that, but it really comes down to what He calls good, you call good. What He calls bad, you call bad. What He says is right, you say is right. What He says is wrong, you say is wrong. You become bent and moldable and pliable to His will. And when you are moldable and bendable and pliable, what happens is you begin to be fitted out in such a way where He then can make deposits. He can make deposits as you are being molded into His will. But I'm telling you, He has made deposits already. Tonight is for you to understand God has made deposits into you, and you need to begin to declare what He has said. Now, first of all, you need to begin to declare what He has said about you in the written Word of God. That should be in you. There is a divine deposit that has been made in you. When you delight yourself in Him, when you delight yourself in His Word, there are divine deposits that take place. What has He said about you? Well, if you're born again, and I believe that everybody in this room is born again, if you are born again, you can declare the things that He says about you when you look at the I am, or rather, you look at the in Him statements, you look at the in whom statements, you look at the through whom, through Him statements. And many of those, you know. What has He said? In Him, I am forgiven. In Ephesians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1, He says we are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. We are forgiven. So it is in me. There is a divine deposit that has been made in me. It is a reality, but I need to see myself this way. So you begin to declare, first and foremost, what He has said about you. What He sees you as. You begin to do that, and it will give you a great boldness to then declare the divine deposits that He has made that you have not seen come to pass yet. Begin to declare what He has said about you in the written Word. What has He said? Well, God, You said that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, so I'm healed. You said, by the shed blood of Christ, I am forgiven, so I am forgiven. You said that I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, God, I am a new creature. I've been made a new creature. I'm not who I used to be. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am a new creature. All these new things are of God. My very nature has been changed from unified to the enemy, unified to darkness, unified to the devil, to unified to You. I am a child of light. I walk in the light as You are in the light. You begin declaring those things that He has said about you. What else has He said? Well, He has said, I am an heir of God. Oh, so I have a vital connection to Him, just as I would have a connection when someone died in the earth, and I have an inheritance. Somebody died for us. His name is Jesus, and I have an inheritance, and that inheritance is not only mine, it's the exact same inheritance as Jesus Himself, because it says, I am an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus. So I can declare, I have a great inheritance. You begin declaring what he says about you in the Word. You begin declaring what he shows you you are when you look in the mirror of the Word of God, and it will give you a boldness. You need to do this. If you don't do this, you won't have boldness, and you'll never say what he has put into you. You won't be bold enough to do it. You need to get a hold of the written Word so that the divine deposits that have been made into you, you can speak. And I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, you need to begin to declare what he has put into you. Some people will laugh. Some people will make fun of you. Don't worry about that. Jesus said about us, he said, if they have obeyed me, they'll obey you. But if they have not, why do you think you would be above your master? In other words, they didn't listen to me. They laughed at me. They scorned him. Why do you think that you wouldn't be scorned too? Don't worry about that. God can take care of you. Quit looking for the approval of men and begin to look for the approval of God. When we do that, we have a word from him that we can declare. It's who we are, first and foremost, what he has given to us, what is ours by inheritance, what is ours by covenant, what is ours, in the earth now. We can declare those things, but then the divine deposits that he has made. If I was still sitting in Winchester, Illinois, working for Marshall Chevrolet, after what would now be 37 years, I could have still been, I could have been working for Marshall Chevrolet for 37 years. Is that right now? Yeah, 37 years. If I was still sitting back there and I had not been doing this, I had not been seeing what God said, and I could still be sitting in Winchester thinking, well, I know God's called me into the ministry. I don't know why it's not happening. I don't know why it's not happening. I don't know why it's not happening. I could be sitting, and God maybe had put a divine deposit into my heart about getting married, and I could be thinking, why am I not married? What's going on here? You need to begin to declare when he makes a divine deposit in your heart. It may be that he speaks to you about starting a business. Well, you've put it in me, God. You made that divine deposit when I was delighting myself in you. This is not just the desire of my head. This is the desire that you made into me. And you need to begin to declare those things. It may be things that go so much beyond you. It may be things about the nation. It may be things about another nation. It may be, but you, when you have gotten into his presence and delighted yourself in him, and there is divine deposits in there, and he will stir them up, and sometimes when you're just sitting and listening to God, those things will begin to rise, and it will happen over and over and over and over and over again. Those things will begin to rise, and when that happens, you need to understand God has made a divine deposit in you. And you need to then give voice to what he's put in you. That is what we're here for tonight. This is the one point that I wanted to get across to you tonight. Really, that God wanted to get across to you tonight. Is you've got things in you. You've got things that God has already put in you. He has put things in you and he's going to put things in you. But you need to give voice to them. Again, Isaiah 43, verses 25 and 26. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. Come, or put me in remembrance, let us plead together, declare thou, that thou mayest be justified. Now this is not just about you being justified. This is about you hooking up with God. When he made a divine deposit in you, he needs you to speak it. He needs you to speak it. So you need to give voice to the vision. You need to give sound to the sight. You need to give God the opportunity to move by you using your voice. I have a divine deposit on the inside. One of the things that I see on the inside is America being a righteous nation in action, not just what I see on the inside by faith. I see it, and I'm declaring it. I see this state as one that is a righteous state led by righteous rulers. I see it. I'm declaring it. I don't care what it looks like. I will declare it. If I don't see it until the day I die, if I don't see it with my eyes, I will still be declaring it. And the truth is, my words will outlive me. There was a man who, and I'm trying to remember whether it was Tyndall or not, who was working, and I'm going back hundreds of years, who was working on getting the Bible in the English language. It had been put into other languages, the languages of the people. I know that there are people that have taken Latin, but Latin's pretty much a dead language. I mean, some people can understand it, but very few. So we needed it in the language of the people. You know, the Latin Vulgate, it is called, what the Catholic Church still did services in Latin for many, 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 many years. And do you know what Vulgate means? It just means language of the people. The word that we get vulgar comes from that, common. The language of the common people, basically. And this man worked very hard to get the language, to get the Bible in the language of the English people, English-speaking people. And he was put to death for it. And he was burnt at the stake, I do believe. And when he was being burned, he cried out with his voice, "O God, open the eyes of the King of England." It had been put into his heart, the Bible in the language of the English-speaking world. God had put that in his heart. His words as he's dying were, "God, open the eyes of the King of England." 100 years later, we have a king who authorized putting it in the language of the English-speaking people. We now have what is called the King James Bible. That man, 100 years before that, cried out what God had put into him. He had worked for it. He died for it. He believed it. He spoke it. And his words outlived him. If I am wrong and Jesus doesn't return within the next 10 years or so, I'll be shocked. But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And if I go home to be with the Lord at a ripe old age where I am satisfied, I've lived a long life, I've done what God called me to do, and I just step over into glory, I will step over into glory still speaking what God has said about this nation and this state if I have not seen it yet. Now, I believe it's taking place now, and I believe we've seen great change. But even if it takes a little bit longer than what I think, I will give God the vision that He has put in me, voice. And you need to give voice to the vision. Give utterance to what He has put in you. You need to do that. He's put things in you. You need to say them. Quit being afraid. Quit thinking people will laugh at me. People will make fun of me. Let me say this. Say them when ain't nobody else around. Get used to it. Get used to it. You still are speaking what God wants spoken, and God will give you an opportunity to speak with other people around too. But He needs you to say what He has put into you. God's Word is a powerful thing, and when He made divine deposit into you, He did not do so without purpose. He also did not do so without power. He can bring it to pass. So, we need to get a hold of the fact that God has put things into us and we can have what we say. And the deposits that He has put into you, oh my, oh my. You're going to see great and mighty things happen. There are other things. You know, it says in Isaiah chapter 6, and when you see it in the Word, you need to begin speaking these things. But in Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, the image that He has there. And one of the angels cried unto the others and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of glory. The whole earth is filled with His glory. You can say, God, your glory fills the earth, which means your glory is here now. And I receive glory. I walk in glory. I experience glory. Oh, I know glory. I recognize glory. I recognize, what is glory? It's the presence of God. You have scripture on this. Begin saying what he says. The glory is here. The glory is here. We're always talking about, oh, God, send your glory. The glory is here. Begin saying what he says. You can have what you say. This should be a divine deposit that's already been made in you. It's the scriptures. It's the written word of God. You've heard this multiple times from me in this pulpit. The glory is here. The glory is here. Oh God, I know your glory. I recognize your glory. I walk in your glory. I experience your glory. I release your glory. I let the glory of God have its way in my life. I let the glory of God touch those around me. Oh, glory, 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 glory. What am I doing? I'm speaking. And when I'm speaking, I'm allowing God to have access to humanity because I allow it through my words. Now, whether you realize it or not, I've been stirring up glory here because I truly believe it. You get it in your heart, and you're going to see the miraculous happen.